If you who didn't ceases to rise, there's some left over. Good evening. Thank you. Again, it's a joy, privilege, pleasure to be with you to share in the Word of the Lord. I've been advised that you've been studying from the Book of the Hebrews, so let's start there. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I don't know if anyone has complained about the lighting here. Perhaps it's I. But I find it difficult to read with the light. However, now, if you pray, we'll get through all right. And if we don't get through all right, it's because you didn't pray hard. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 32. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Now that's a lovely series, isn't it? All these things that God did for his people. Now, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and still others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Some, shall we say, were favored in a wonderful manner. And still others went through much torment. Now, beloved, I am not a prophet, I only go by the word of God. But as I read what is happening in this world and read the Bible, at least in the United States, if not in Canada, we're going to go through a time of persecution. I have mentioned this before. I mentioned again, there are at least two states in the United States where it is illegal and unlawful to hold a Bible reading in your home. That's over the border. And most things that are over that border come over into Canada. You are yet going to face persecution. Acts chapter 12, please. Why did God favor some, as we might say, and others went through torture? Who decides that? Acts chapter 12. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And I assure you, beloved, this is going to be repeated. It is being repeated in many areas of the world today. Only last week I was reading of 13 different nations in which it is Christians are being persecuted. Just to be a Christian, you're persecuted. And if it's in those 13, I have a strong feeling it's going to happen here. And I know for sure that after the Lord takes his people home, those that accept him are going to be persecuted. Verse 2. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Now, why is it that God allowed John, or rather James, the brother of John, to be killed and he spared Peter? Now, can you tell me? I tell you frankly, I don't know. But God rules in his own way. And I see still many of us, I believe right here, are going to go through severe persecution. Child of God, are you ready? You know what we read in Revelation chapter 2 concerning the church in Smyrna? It reads in our Bibles, be faithful unto death. You know a better translation? Be faithful even if you have to die for it. Come, may I see the hands of all that are willing? Thank you. Now, why does God allow difficulties in the Christian life? Or better still, why do we as believers have difficulties in this life? 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You didn't do anything. You're suffering wrongfully. What glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults that you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Chapter 3, please. Verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror or be troubled. Chapter 4, please, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in another man's manners. Yet, if any suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their hearts and to their souls in him, to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful God. Why do believers have problems? Now, the Lord told us that we're going to have problems in this world. And if there is a believer here, and you tell me I have no problems, everything is fine, you better check on yourself. Believers will have problems. I mentioned this the other night. I wonder if I should mention it again. Even young believers have problems. I remember when I was in school, I had problems. I'll tell you, I won't tell you the same problem that I had that I told the folks earlier last week. We were in second grade. And the teacher did a very unwise thing. A boy brought an orange to school, which he should not have done, and presented it in class. She saw it. She took it from it. And she did a most unwise thing. What do you think she did? The student that guesses the number I'm thinking of will get this orange. And it's the only time I guessed correctly. 28. And I got the orange. Therefore, I was first in line. She took us only so far. And after that, the boys knocked me down and everyone in the class stepped on me. Problems. They have them in school. You don't know about them. They may not tell you about it, but they have them. Now, why do believers have problems? we have just read. Either you have done wrong, or God has been pleased to allow you to suffer wrong. You remember Jacob? All his life he was playing tricks, always doing something for somebody else. And you remember when he appeared before Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" And he gave his age and said, "Few and evil." Whose fault was that? That was his own fault. He was always playing tricks. That's why they were few and evil. But then you notice his son Joseph. We won't take the time to read. Let's read. Book of Genesis, please. Verse, chapter 39. We could read further, but his brothers hated him, and they envied him, and they scorned him, and they sold him. I wonder why. Where was God? What had Joseph done? Nothing. Now read with me chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him and allowed him to be sold. I tell you, beloved, sometimes those difficulties that you face, it's because the Lord is with you. But make sure it isn't because you got yourself into trouble. But the Lord allows these troubles for our benefit. Let's read on. Verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him. How about some of you in school? You don't do what all the others do. Do you know that they realize that the Lord is with you? Read on, please. Oh, you know the story of Potiphar's wife. We don't have to read that. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was in the prison. But, look at verse 20, the Lord was in it. You see, the Lord allowed him to go there, but the Lord was in. And in this life, you will have difficulties. You will have jealousies on the job. You will not maybe get the promotions that you think you should get, but if you are in the will of the Lord is with you. You're not suffering for wrongdoing. And I like to say to people, sometimes the saint will say, I don't know why things are so bad and so hard. I said, now make sure that you didn't get yourself in trouble. And if you are sure that you didn't get yourself in trouble, leave it with the Lord. He's right there. Let's read on. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him in the midst of difficulties. And I want to repeat it. It is the lesson for this evening. The Lord said in the word, you're going to have tribulation, trials, testing. And it was Barnabas who said that through much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom. And then in 2 Timothy, we are told that we're going to have troubles and problems. Once you know that you are not guilty of wrongdoing, the Lord is with you. And when he finishes, you'll come out brighter and better. Story is told, and you've heard it. A certain lady was watching a silversmith, and there he was stirring and stirring and stirring. And she went and looked at some other things and came back and he was stirring. She said, when do you stop stirring? How do you know when to stop stirring? What do you think the silversmith said? When I can look in that bowl, and that heated silver, and see the reflection of my face, then I stop. What do we read in Hebrews? that the Lord is disciplining us so that we might be partakers of His holiness. Anybody here look like the Lord? Well, then we all need discipline. You see what I'm getting at? When the Lord allows these things and our consciences are clear, it is because He wants to improve us. Again, there was this little girl. Her father was a sculptor. And he was out there beating and beating and beating away at the stone. "Daddy, why are you wasting the stone?" And Daddy said, "Dear daughter, the more I waste the stone, the more the statue comes up." And that's why the Lord disciplines us. Now come back, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. See, we haven't gotten to our subject yet. All this is introduction. Hebrews 11, we read. Verse 33. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." And we want to take off from this point Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. "And when the king came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice." And this is our subject. "The king said to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able?'" I ask you, is your God able? Is he? It's nice to know that, isn't it? And so when at work and at school, and in other activities, the enemy comes in and your neighbors mock you. And you know why I like to speak about school? Because I like to speak to you young people. Some of these older folks say, "Oh, he's young. He doesn't have any problems." Don't you deceive yourself. These young people have a whole lot. I have told this and I will tell it again. I remember in medical school, I didn't bother anybody. Do you know, there was one fellow there, I don't know why he didn't like me. You know what he said to me the third year? He got to know me a little better. He said, "Arthur, I hated you so much I could have killed you." I didn't do a thing to him. And that happens to some of you young ones. And it happens at work. And you don't get the promotion you should get. And you don't get the justice that you should get. You don't get the time schedule because they hate you. Now, the Lord has allowed it. Don't get upset. Graduation day. This same fellow, he's about 6'2", former football player, big fellow. And he was at the far end of the campus with his mother. And I was at the other end. He waved to me and said, "Arthur, stay there." He indicated that. This is the boy that wanted to kill me. And he brought me up, said to his mother, "Mother, I want you to meet Arthur Garnes." The Lord puts you through these things. And if you don't faint, it's amazing the victory that He will give you. Now let's look at Brother Daniel. Is thy God able? It pleased Darius, verse 1, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Why? Why was he preferred above all of them? He had a natural spirit. Where do you get that from? Read again about Joseph. He too had an excellent spirit. He got it from the Lord. And I say to you, child of God, If under pressure and various circumstances, you will live for the Lord, it's amazing what he'll do for you. Now, this question, this is a political question. Should I vote? By all means, vote. The Bible teaches that. Be subject to the powers of people. Should I run for election? Now, you decide that. As far as I'm concerned, I don't run for anybody's election. You will notice that all the men of God who served in the government were not elected by the people. They were put there by the rulers through God. Joseph, he wasn't elected. Therefore, when he got into office, he could speak up his mind. He wasn't obligated to anybody. Mordecai wasn't elected. Esther wasn't elected. Nehemiah wasn't elected. And all of these people, having been placed in position by God, were more effective than if they had been elected. I think it's in North Carolina. Dear brother there, PhD in education and a firm believer. He ran for office and he lost. But the one who won the top position appointed him. And they can't do a thing about it. He got more by God's appointment than he got if he had won the election. I tell you, I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't run for office. But I'm saying let God put you there and then you're obligated to nobody. You don't have to play politics. But let's go on. God wrought wonderfully in this man's life. This is a mountaintop experience promoted by the ruler himself over all the other people. Now, you know that's going to cause some jealousy, isn't it? Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find none occasion nor fault. Inasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What a record. And child of God, I say again, at school, and I stress school, because I could give you some stories about school. Stand up for the Lord, do what is right, in school, on the job, wherever you are, they won't like you. But that's all right. We then, said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Isn't that amazing? The man is all right. The only thing we can say about him is he loves God. Isn't that nice? That's a wonderful thing to have people against you. About. Because you honor the God of heaven, they're angry with you. And there are a bunch of them all over the place. Many of them all over. So they are against Daniel because he honors the God of heaven. And I say again to you, beloved, if you find somebody is against you because of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rejoice. You're going in the right direction. So they're going to do something now. This Daniel and his God, we want to, and he's over all of us. Something has got to be done. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. Well, that's all right to tell the king. He's not going to live forever anyhow. But you and I are going to live forever. Everyone that has taken Jesus Christ as Savior, and as we said this morning, live it means more than just being alive. It's a level of living. And everyone who has eternal life, it's amazing what's in the future for us. Amazing.
Verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into... What's he going to be cast into? Come on. A what? What's he going to be cast into? A lion's den or a den of lions? Which one? Sure. I've seen a man in the lion's den. But I've never seen a man in a den of lions. Have you? My dad used to take me to the zoo, or I guess if I like animals to this day, every summer, at least once we went to the zoo. And I liked the big cats, you know, the lions and the tigers, those fellows. And there was a man cleaning out the lion's compartment, but the lion wasn't in there. He was in the lion's den. But after he cleaned it out, he let the lions in and he got out. Because then he would be in a den of lions. Let us read the scripture exactly as it reads. Daniel was not in the lion's den. He was in a den of lions. Whole lot of difference. Is thy God able? What can God do when you're in a den of lions? Let's read on. Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing, that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing of the decree. Poor fellow, he didn't see what they were doing. And do you know that against the child of God in various activities, they're all scheming against him? I have a long record at home of believers in the school system, believers in the government, and they have been demoted and cast away. Why? Because they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the United States, I have records of those who have achieved high degrees, PhD. And when they learned that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they retracted the degrees. Well, that's fact. And it's happening today. But is it new? Is that new? It happened here in Daniel's day. Nothing new. But read on. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and when you know that all these things are aimed against you, what are you going to do? Run? Daniel didn't run. He went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did in the past. That's what you do. You don't give up when these fellows come around and tell you, you can't read the Bible on the job. After a while they'll tell you what you can eat. You can't put the Bible on your desk. They're out to get us, aren't they? You know there's one thing they can't stop us from? They can't stop us from praying. And you don't have to pray out loud. You can pray silently. They can't stop you from praying. This is the enemy, and he has not only worked in Daniel's day. I want to emphasize he's working today in the world. And I'm not talking about China and Asia and Africa and the Philippines. Right here in these so-called advanced countries, Satan is working. Let's read on. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions, not lion's den. Please note how the scripture reads. We were saying, I think it was during the week, during the past week, came together. Now, there is such a thing as, what is the woman's name? Emily somebody. Speed reading, you know? Read fast. Don't speed read the Bible. Every word is important. And I remember as a youngster, a lovely sister in the meeting, grandmother of one of our playmates. Lovely lady. But she would often misquote the scripture. Now, boys, be sure to get to meeting on time. God says, render your heart and not your God. Everybody, render your heart and not your garment. All right? Is that what the Bible says? The Bible said, render, tear it, be in weeping with your, from your heart. You say, render? And render. But poor lady, she meant well. But there's no excuse for us. Her education was limited. And we boast of how much we know. I went to this college. And I have this degree. But when you read the Bible, read every word. That's it. Don't read any other word. And don't put any words in it. And don't take any words from it. You get that in Deuteronomy. You get it twice in Proverbs. Or twice in Deuteronomy. You get it in Proverbs. You get it in the book of Revelation. Don't add or subtract from the word of God. I mentioned this during the past week. Some of you were there, you must have heard it. Some of these things you're hearing the second time. Where's our sister here? She'll tell you about it. In the course of musical theory and harmony, there are what is known as altered chords. Am I right? She knows I'm right. Altered chords, you see? A chord has three nice notes, C, C, E, G. Beautiful chord. And Chopin was great for this. He would take just one of those notes and step it up a half step or step it down a half step. It changes the tune. But then when you resolve it, as they say, it makes for good music. And that's what makes Chopin such a popular composer. He knew how to alter the chords. But you don't alter this book. That's the trouble with many of the perversions that are coming up. They alter the word of God. Don't do it. They go on. Verse 12, I think we read that, but we read it again. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Not lion's den, you'll pardon me. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Sure, I said that. Worship and pray to no god but me. Oh, my. Oh, by the way, youngsters, there's a lot of history here. You notice that the king didn't have all an absolute power. He shared it with those under him. Now, you take the kingdom before this, Babylon. What is said about Nebuchadnezzar? Whom he would he let live? And whom he would he slew. And you couldn't stop him. He had absolute control. But as the history of man went on, the chief got less and less control. Now, it's in your textbooks, but before it was in your textbooks, it was in the Bible. And you read about the kingdoms that follow. And the leading man has less and less power. So that in the United States today, you've got a Congress of 100 men going after the president. All here in the Bible. All the more reason to study the Bible. There are wonderful things in there. Do you know that if you never went to college and you studied the Bible properly, you'd know it more than the fellow coming out of college? You believe that? Anybody believe that? That's this book. It's a wonderful book. Oh, the time is going. I would like to tell you something, but I won't bother. Yeah, I better not bother. Let's go. 13, then answered they and said before the king, which that Daniel, you notice that? That Daniel. That Daniel. Oh, they despised him. That Daniel. And I've heard expressions like that in various circles. I remember on one occasion we had a man there from Syria. Now, these fellows didn't know, and they didn't like the Syrians. I won't tell you what nationality they were. But I heard this doctor say to you, that's Syrian. Hatred and scorn. That Daniel. And they don't think any more of us. That Arthagons. Which is of the children of Israel, of the captivity of Judah, does not regard thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. They caught him in a trap. He knew that Daniel had done nothing wrong. Sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled to the king and said, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. King, you're in a bind, and you can't get out. We got you. That's what they're saying. And from time to time, they think they have us Christians also in the mind. Is your God able? That's the issue. Can God get him out of this thing? Let's read. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Everybody seems satisfied. Is that what your Bible says? Of course not. They cast him into the den of lions. The lions were there and they put him in. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And you know, though there may be wicked men around, there are always a few who respect you and your stand for God. Just stand for it. I don't like to talk about myself. I'm not boasting. But I also had a roommate. See? Nice fellow. Oh, he was a nice fellow. Kind, courteous, and wealthy. And every night before Arthagons went to bed, not being showy, I read the Bible and I got down on my knees and said my prayer. It's quite a thing to do when you're in medical school. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to know better, aren't you? Christmas came and his parents wrote to him, What do you want for Christmas? A Bible. Does it work? Can you influence those around? A lot of them. I told you about the one that wanted to kill me. But there was one that I had a wholesome influence on. Don't be discouraged, child of God. Live the word. Live for God. It will have a positive effect on somebody. Don't worry about the majority. Do you know that the majority of people throughout history, biblical history, and secular history, the majority have always been wrong? Did you know that? Yeah. So don't worry about the majority. They're wrong anyway. But here and there, you'll find one that will respect your love for the Lord. Verse 16, Thy God whom thou servest continually, I don't know who he is, but I know there's something about it. He'll deliver you. He'll take care of you. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. His sleep, he couldn't even sleep. They had tricked him. And there was Daniel in there with the lion. The king rose, verse 19, very early in the morning. He couldn't sleep. You know how things are on your mind and you're not at ease? You can't sleep. Ordinarily, you might get up at 7, you get up at 5. Well, that's what happened here. Early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able? That's our subject. Is your God able? Having troubles in the neighborhood? Having troubles at work? Having troubles, young people, at school? Is your God able? That's all I want to know. If your God isn't able, you have the wrong one. My God is able for anything. Now, he may not act when I would like him to act, but that's his affair. He decides when. We read on. Is thy God able? Thy God whom thou servest continually, to deliver thee from the lions. 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. The same thing those other fellows said. That was the respectful way to address the king. My God! How about your God? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. Well, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. If your life is right before God, and right before your fellow men, even though they won't recognize it, you'll be amazed what God will do for you. I ask again, is your God able? Are you in difficulties? Are you having problems? Now, don't turn to man. Man can't help. Is your God able? Now, mine is able. That doesn't mean I don't have any problems, and it doesn't mean that he's solved all the problems. But he's able. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Why was no hurt found on Daniel? Don't look at me, beloved. Read what the word says. Because he believed in his God. Do you believe in God? Then you're all right. Now, let me put you in that den. But you don't have to worry. You're going to be all right. It's amazing how God works for his own in various ways. Now, you have heard the story, I'm sure, of the preacher. I believe this was in some part of Europe in the 17th century, somewhere in there. And they were against the creed of the preachers. And this man was preaching Christ. Word came, they're after you. And so he ran. He said, Lord, help me. He saw a kiln. You know, those things you burn wood in and cook. Had an opening just wide enough for him to get in. Now, this is fact. No sooner had he gotten in than a spider began to weave a web. Did he get the rest of the story? When the pursuers came, one said, let's look in there. The leader said, what are you going to look in there for? There's a web there. Go on. Did God save him? Is your God able? That's all I want. Now, I'm not telling you that he's going to spin a web for you. I don't know what he's going to do. But is he able? And do you believe in him? Is your God able? The king commanded, verse 24, they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came before, that is, they came to the bottom of the den. Is your God able? I'm finished. What can your God do? We sometimes think God can do anything but fail. Now be careful. That isn't true. That's not true. God can only do those things which are consistent with his holiness. Titus 1 and verse 1, God cannot lie. So he can't do everything. And there are some others. But he can deliver his people. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. How we thank thee that we can call thee Father, that we are members of the family of God, the greatest group in creation, the highest level of society anywhere, and thou hast promised never to leave us, never to fail us, and never to forsake us. We will have problems in the world, the Lord said that, but he also said, I will be with thee to the end. May our hearts be strengthened and encouraged. Younger ones, middle-aged, older ones. Should there be any here who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, may they bow to him, even this night, and go on to know that they are under the care and protection, the umbrella of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us with that blessing, we pray, as we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, a hymn, please.